Coddersall's kickoff. This is Radio City Talk.
Right, the Smith brothers in action at the weekend. Wasn't quite to be for Paul as he went for a world title for a third time. Brother Stephen fought before that. Swifty Smith, and he lived up to his name as he took out Karoly Galevich within a minute, I think, according to my watch. Morning to you, Stephen.
Morning, mate.
It was quick, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was, to be honest.
I mean, literally, you caught him with a body blow on the side. And he couldn't. I mean, he couldn't breathe by the look of it.
No. He was down for a long time. To be honest with you, sometimes he just land in the right place, and you know, thankfully for me, that was it was a good shot.
Does it serve a purpose, a fight like that for you? Is it simply a case of just getting into the swing of things again? You know, what is the positive about doing something like that?
Yeah, to be honest, mate, I didn't learn a thing about that. You know, I've had an argument at home. Maybe it's one of them where. You know, it was just good to go back to the whole routine of fighting. You know, the warming up, the little bit of nerves, the going the way, and just the whole routine of, you know, being back under the lights. Really, it was just good to get back out there and your name to be out there. Really, get back to winning ways, and you know, show people that you know what your intentions are to get back up them rankings and towards bigger things.
Yeah, just to be involved, isn't it? Because you still are ambitious.
Yeah, definitely. You know, my ambitions are still the same in boxing. I still want to be world champion. So, you know, you're only going to do that by winning, and you've got to win, work your way up them rankings, and you know, aim towards them titles. So, while I was sitting there, you know, laying dormant on the back of a loss, I was never going to be, you know, become world champion. I need to get out and get a win. So that was just the first step on the ladder. Really, next will be a bigger, better fight for me, and you know, win that again, and I'm edging closer again towards that elusive world title for me.
So what? You're a mandatory now, aren't you, for a European belt?
Yeah, I've been mandatory for a European belt for the last. I've been number one in Europe for the last, like, I think it's about 3 years now. I think it's since I knocked Gary Buckland out. I think I've been number one in Europe. So, you know, I've been sat there. That shot's always been there, then about. So, I sort of, you know, my team has said, well, look, we'll, you know, push for that now and say, look, we want the mandatory to be called because. Well, as I say, I've sat number one and never really had the mandatory position put on the champion. So, you know, we push it on the belt to change hands a couple of times. So every time a new person wins, he gets a voluntary shot. And it's just so happened over the last few years. Someone's won it and won it again. So they've never had the mandatory position forced on them. So we put a letter in to say, look, you know, we've sat there long enough. We want a shot at it. So it's just literally been 4-4. So. The European champion will get a letter soon. He might have to fight me, so that could be my next option.
Right, so they'd be obvious steps, wouldn't they? European title, world title challenge once again. Fingers crossed on that front. Yeah. You said arguments at home. Were those arguments at home because you're getting married very soon and the missus, Jade, didn't want the face all scuffed up?
Yeah, probably. I think the arguments at home, would have been there. You better not get it. So
That's the big positive to come out of this fight. At least you're not blemished in any way ahead of your wedding photos.
Yeah, to be honest, again, you know, I didn't learn nothing, but it was one of them. And looking back on it, you know, it was a touch for me. It was probably due an easy one. You know, I've had some really good fights recently, and you know, my last fight, I still get people going on about now how much of a great fight it was, 12 round war and stuff like that. So I was probably due a bit of an easy one. So I'll take that.
Your brother doesn't get easy ones, does he, Paul?
And no.
He'll be gutted with what happened. Massive family man. He'll soon turn things around in his own head, but I'm sure at the moment he's still feeling sore about how he planned or went through the fight at the weekend with Tyrone Zuga.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's about now. And so the next day, and especially with being Father's Day, he's just spent this whole day with his kids. And, you know, people know what a good dad he is. And he's, you know, he loves his kids. He'll have spent yesterday all day with his kids. And it'll be sort of today that he'll sit down, a bit of realisation, a little home, and he'll watch the fight, and he'll sort of go through what he didn't do and what he should have done. So today'll be a bit of a sore day for him, and you know, it's upsetting, but you know, we've got a good family, we'll get around him, and you know, we'll make sure he's all right. But you know, it is a tough time for him, because he'll know there's things he could have and should have done. But that's the hard part of boxing, really. You know, the losing is really tough.
It's probably the bigger hitter between the two, but did youth prove to be the big advantage for Tyrone Zuga?
Yeah. We knew that. You know, he's a young champion. He's only 25, and he was always going to be the younger, fresher man. And he had sort of the speed, but we knew Paul had the power. And when he was still a young champion, he's got a lot of naivety about him. Where when he gets hit with a good shot, straight away he jumps in and tries to throw big ones himself. You know, he's a game fighter, but we sort of thought that'd play into our hands. So when Paul lands a big shot, we knew straight away he'd jump in, and then it'd be a bit of a shootout, and that should have been, you know, what Paul wants, and that should be playing into Paul's hands. So, you know, Paul a few times in the fight lands a big shot, straight away, as predicted, Zuga jumped straight in, and then it became a shootout. You know, you've seen it in rounds 3 and 11, Paul done sort of what he was meant to, but it was just too many rounds in the middle where he didn't do enough, and, you know, he was behind on the cards, and there was absolutely no arguments for the scorecards.
I mean, I would imagine as a boxer, it's sometimes frustrating when you get in there and you simply just can't follow your pre-fight plan. Plans go out. What was it Mike Tyson said? He said, all plans go out of the window once you get hit in the face.
Exactly. Everyone's got a plan when you get in that ring, and then all of a sudden you get smacked in the nose and you're like, oh, hang on a minute. it's a bit different to it then.
You didn't see the Guillermo Rigondo fight, did you, against Flores? Have you managed to watch this?
Yeah, do you know what? You see, as I got up yesterday, I had a little look and watched the Ward fight, and then I watched the Rigondo one after him. It was a strange one, wasn't it?
Well, this is amazing. Let me sort of briefly give the listeners some sort of idea. So Guillermo Rigondo, absolute world champ, unbelievable fighter, facing this guy Flores, who thought he could take the title off him. So they start, end of the first round. Guillermo Rigondo throws a punch after the bell has rung, which knocks Flores to the floor. And it seems that Flores is left unconscious. But if you watch it again and again, it almost looks like he maybe fabricated it, maybe cheated, maybe sort of fell over and tried to claim the belt almost through cheating, something I'd never, ever seen before. Now, there was massive confusion as to what had happened. The referee got the wrong end of the stick. Someone tried to clarify it outside the ring for him. In the end, the referee gave it as a knockout within the normal time of the round, which was wrong because it was after the bell. But there was two sides to this. One, Flores almost got his comeuppance for cheating, I thought.
Yeah, it was.
Was he cheating? Did you think he feigned it?
It was a very strange one. I was exactly like yourself. I'd never seen it before, and I was a bit confused at the time, because at the time I was waiting, you know, that was after the bell, and I thought, hang on, this might be a disqualification here. It might be the first time I've ever seen Rigondo lose. You know, he's a two-time Olympic gold medalist, and he's unbeaten as a pro, and he's an absolute special talent, one of the best I've ever seen. And I was thinking, oh, he might have lost it. You know, and next minute, you know, you've seen obviously what happened, and when I watched the replays back, you could see you know, Flores had sort of tried to kid people, really, and he's probably seen it as a way of trying to get a win, because he probably knew he wasn't going to win, you know, legitimately. So he started to, you know, con people and pretend he was knocked out, and he probably got his comeuppance in the end. And, you know, I'm looking back on it, and we have the beauty of seeing new plays. I'm glad sort of the decision went the way it was, because, you know, it wouldn't have been nice for him to kid people like that and pretend he was asleep. Although, again, it was an illegal shot. He should have got a smack on the wrist, got told, got warned for it, maybe even got a point off, and then the fight continues. But, you know, he tried to kid people, so he sort of got what was due, really.
It was justice at the end of the day, but I have to say, I've never seen a boxer, and look, we're only speculating here, I've never seen a boxer try to cheat a fight before, and if he did, that's a first in my eyes.
Yeah, same, first in mine. I've never seen that, but, you know, you know, when people get knocked out, they get knocked out, and you can't kid no one with these replays nowadays, you know, and you see he gets hit with a shot, he stands up straight, and then he thinks that was late. So then he jumps down on the floor and go above his head, and you can't do that. Not at these replays, you know, people know you, when you get it, you go down. Otherwise, you know, you don't get it, have a think and think, oh yeah, hang on a minute, that was late, I'll jump down now, and then jump over it. Yeah, it's too obvious.
It sort of threw up the question to me about how fights are judged as well, because the referee didn't have a clue. He did not have an igloo what was going on in the ring at that point.
No, again, going back to, you know, the good view the public get, it was fascinating to see, because the camera stayed with the referee right through it. So you could see all of the discussions he was having, and, you know, what he was saying to each official outside the ring. He was literally letting them know, look, I thought it might have been a foul shot, I need to see a replay. And he was getting out the ring and watching cameras and stuff. And I've never, ever seen anything like it in my life. And I think in the end, you know, as you say, it probably was a bit of justice, because, you know, he did try and con people.
The kickoff on Radio City Talk, your one stop for Merseyside sport.
This is Radio City Talk.